2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy and chapter number 2. Again, thank you for coming, bringing your Bibles, and I hope you are ready to hear from the Word of the Lord and praising the Lord for wonderful things He's already done. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Again, just a reminder here of what Paul is speaking about. He's talking to a younger Timothy and encouraging him in the things of the Lord and helping him with this. Now, notice, jump down verse 19, and he says there, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Now we'll stop there for a minute, but you know, I'm sure this portion of Scripture, as we think about tonight, are we vessels unto honor? Are we living for Him? And we're in Christ. Are we in Him? Number one, as Brother Sykes talked about this morning, knowing Christ, number one. And then from there we grow, and that's our springboard, obviously, going forward. But he reminds Timothy here of being a vessel unto the Lord. Have you ever gone into your kitchen, reached up into the cupboard, and we're going to grab a cup and get it down, obviously, to use it. And if you're like me, I really don't like my coffee cup to get washed. Now, I don't know if you're like me. You know, you wash that coffee cup and it gets a weird taste to it, you know. And I like it, you know, it's a little dirty, you know, got that flavor in it. You got to, you know, what do you call it when you do with cast iron stuff? You season it or whatever it is. Yeah. And I like it like that. But anyways, you reached up, grab a cup, and it's filthy. Now, in my days of being single, some of you may remember those days, you improvised. You know, you had to do some MacGyver-type stuff, you know. And you didn't do, as a guy, we didn't do dishes. We didn't think about that stuff till it was too late. And you had all these dirty dishes in the sink, but no cup to use. And you went, you know. So, of course, you'd take and you'd rinse it out a little bit, give it a little swoosh and dump it, and it's good enough to go. But then you get married. That's a no-no. You don't do that. "Honey, here you go." And she says, "Did you wash it? It doesn't look washed or washed, as we said tonight." "Of course it is, honey, up to my standards, you know." And anyways, you take that cup. You don't want a filthy cup. You have a guest in your home. You want a clean cup. You want to make sure that everything's up to par. Now, notice with me tonight, he's talking about being a vessel, somewhat of a vessel. And he says we're to be that clean vessel. We're to be something that God can use to His glory. He says in verse 20, again, there's not only vessels of gold and silver. These are precious. These are very, very nice. These are things you would use on special occasions. But also wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. And you think about here, he's talking about being a vessel that God can use. And he reminds Timothy, he says, "Now, Timothy, be cautious and careful that you are a vessel that God can use." You and I must make it a point to be that very vessel, and you know that. But as we think about that dirty cup that you may use or grab out of the cupboard, it may be okay for you, but it's not according to God's standard, you know, spiritually speaking. It's not according to His standard. It's not according to that. Now, we come back and meet God's standard. Talked to an individual a while back, but trying to get and share with him the Word of God, and especially the gospel. You know, you talk to somebody, you try and make your way around and get back to the gospel with them, don't you? And some people, you can make a beeline for the gospel and they're fine with that. But most people, they get rather offended. And you kind of work your way around, and I was kind of working my way around trying to get the conversation to go towards the gospel and get to my point I was getting at. And the conversation went on and on and all of those things. And he said, "Well, I don't know if I believe the Bible. I don't like the way God is. I don't like His rules. I don't like His standards," and all of those things, you know, you've heard those excuses before. And I kindly said to him, I said, "Sir, now, you must understand, it's God's way. It's His way. He created everything. He can do whatever he wants to do, right? Now, he's not a dictator. He doesn't, if you will, come and do that in our lives. He's so sweet, gracious, and kind, and merciful. But he is a God. He is a God of righteousness, and he will judge, and he will correct his children and all of that. But I was trying to explain to him, sir, it's his way, isn't it? He makes the rules. You know, why are you going to stand and argue with it? If you get on board with his rules and with his way, he's not going to make you suffer. He's going to enhance your life. You're going to have great joy, peace, and all of that. So as we think about here, we come back to God's way. Lord, I want to be a vessel for you. Oh, that vessel. You and I know. Jeremiah wrote, many decades prior to this. And he wrote and he talked about Jeremiah 18 and verse 3. He said, then I went down to the potter's house. And behold, what? He wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made again another vessel. And it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in the mine, O house of Israel. He's saying he went down. You ever seen them make pottery? Oh, it's so beautiful. And he said he saw it on the wheel there, and it was making the pottery. And then it was marred, fell apart. And he took it off, and he started over again with another lump of clay. And he built that pot up and slowly worked. I watched just recently an old Japanese guy make beautiful, beautiful little cups. And beautiful little cups. Took him many, many hours, but he took his time. And he, as it spun on the wheel, he made these beautiful things. And Jeremiah said, as the Lord was speaking to Jeremiah, he said, cannot I do this to you as the potter? Meaning, you're my pot. You're my vessel. I'm the potter, you're the clay. And we got to think about that. Our world today forgets that, don't we? They forget that God's in control. He's the potter. I'm just the clay. And there's an old song we used to sing. But the Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, and then use me. Use me. And that's what we're saying. God, you mold me the way you want me to be so that I can be your vessel. I can be what you want me to be. People say, well, I'll serve God if I can, dot, dot, dot. I'll serve God. I'll follow Him. I'll be what He wants me to be. If I can't, no. We come back to this, what Paul said. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, right? He's different. He's changed. He'll go on in another book of his epistles and says, what? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, right? Coming back to what he's talking about in Romans of a living sacrifice. God desires to use each one of us. Are we a vessel that he can use? Are we one that says, Lord, I don't really like that, but God's saying, yeah, but I'm trying to form this part and get this straightened up over here. Lord, I don't feel good over here and I just want to quit and throw in the towel. Yeah, but keep going. Just stay with me here and I will form you into something very precious. And so we think about here. As we see, this is brought to our light. Now, verse 21, he says here, notice if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. He'll be sanctified, I mean set apart, and meet for the master's use. You're up to par, meaning you're up to the standard. You're meet for master's use. You can be used. There are certain standards in our world that must be met. You know, thinking about that, there are certain things the FDA puts out. You can only do certain things, right? Went to a restaurant just recently, and on the menu, it had the different temperatures of the steak that you could get, right? You could get rare. I don't know how. Does anyone eat rare steak? And it said under it, slightly warmed. And I went, oh, okay. Some people really like that. And they say it's better for you. I don't know. And then they have the other, you know, medium well, medium, and then well done, and all of that. You go down the line. But the FDA or whatever puts it out and says you can only, it says at the bottom, warning, consuming raw meats is very dangerous or whatever. You've all seen that. Well, they put these things out, right? There are certain standards that have to be met. And you know that. Dad, as he deals with building homes and other things, their code enforcement comes, doesn't he? And he says, now this needs to be changed and this needs to be, and we don't go, well, says who? You know, we have done that before, but says, what do you mean? And what do they say? The code says this, right? They point back to the standard. And that's what God does, doesn't he? So many people argue with that. Well, why? What do we do? Well, there's standards. He says, listen, are you meet for the master's use? Are you up to par? Are you where you're at? God says, I'd like to use you, Tim, but there's some deficiencies over here. I don't like that you have this, this, and that, right? I'm not meet for the master's use. I'm not up to par there, if you will, and prepared unto every good work. Something here that we liken to the progressive sanctification in the life of a believer. Now, again, to make clear, there is something called positional sanctification. At the moment of salvation, you're saved and you're immediately set apart. Right? You're no longer of the world. You're no longer of this society. You're now a child of God. But there's also something called that progressive sanctification or daily sanctification. It means as we're growing, we're not sinless. We're sinning and messing up, but we're daily being set apart. Lord, I want to resubmit myself to you. Lord, I knew I shouldn't have done that or said that or been there. Forgive me of those sins. I want to be back in line with you. That's that progressive sanctification. He says, Timothy, now line up here. Purge yourself from these things of dishonor. Notice that, dishonorable things. But notice it's the personal choice. Number two, personal choice. He says, purge himself from these. We take an opportunity to do it ourselves, don't we? And, oh, she made me do it. He made me do it. It's our fault. It's their fault. It's what's going on. No, we take personal responsibility in that, don't we? Now, we see here, one, we must be in Christ. We know that. In Him. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Ephesians 2 goes through many of these things. We are His workmanship in Christ Jesus, all of that. He goes on in 2 Corinthians 13 and he says, examine yourselves. Take some examination, if you will. Take some inventory of yourself. Of what? Whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now again, there's something in the New Testament talking about proving. And there's one way we prove. Now he says to the church at Thessalonica, again, he says what? Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. When you've proven something and it comes out, that which is bad, that which is good, you take and hold on to the good. Well, how do we prove things? We have to have a standard by which we prove, and that's the Word of God, isn't it? We have an infallible, preserved, we believe in an errant, which means without error, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Word. 66 books compiled together in one volume. Now, as you think about this, we can prove our own salvation, but we can prove that which is good. We can be what we're supposed to be in Christ because of what God's given to us. We must, secondly, under this point, depart from iniquity. Depart from these things. There is some discipline required if you will make the team and stay on the team. We know that. there's requirements. And some of you may have served in the military or served another capacity or some athletes today. I heard one fellow talking. I think he plays for an NFL team or something. And I can't recall all that he said, but the discipline that they have to endure. People think, oh, they're out partying all the time and spending all their money. And he says they're not. I mean, they're at a meeting on Monday morning, and they're at practice on Tuesday, and then Wednesday they're getting ready for the game. And he says it's very rigid. It's very rigid. And he's talking about that discipline. If we're going to be on the team, we're going to follow through and be what God wants us to be. Notice, we have to implement some of this, purging ourselves from these things. And then he says, verse 23, we also flee these youthful lusts. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So there's a fleeing, getting away from youthful lust. You know, there's elderly people that still deal with youthful problems, don't they? They still deal with that immaturity, that youthful, and here he puts lust, lusting after things. And not only in a sexual way, there's no kids in here tonight, in a sexual way, but he's talking about what? Those emotional things, those immaturity, if you will. You flee those things and you come to God. Now, you know that if you're going to flee something, you've got to go to something. They teach you that in addiction programs. And if you go to an addiction program, you're coming off of some kind of problem that you had, well, one of the first things they teach you is, if you're going to get rid of the alcohol and get rid of the drug, you have to go to something else. Well, why? Because that thing was filling a void inside, wasn't it? It was filling a void. And I went to the drugs, or I went to the alcohol to fill that emptiness. Well, what they teach is you go to something else. You put something in that place. For the secular world, they give you a hobby or, you know, teach you how to knit or quilt or work on a car. They give you something else to do, right, to get your mind focused. Now, spiritually, as the Lord allows us to reach other people and maybe counsel other people in those areas, we obviously point them to the Word of God, don't we? We say, you know, you had this problem. Let me show you what you need to do. You need to get into the Bible. You need to get faithful into church. You need to be spending time around God's people. That's what he's saying. You're going to flee from these things, Timothy. Get away from these things. You're going to get attached, magnetized, if you will, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Get close to him. Get close to him. We must depart. We must be in Christ. One, we must depart from iniquity. Notice that. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Now, God will help us. The Holy Spirit will help us, but we need to do it ourselves. You know, pick yourself up and pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and all of that. That sounds good on paper, but it's hard to do, isn't it? We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to flee these things, if we're going to go at it and be what the vessel we're supposed to be, we come back to him. Now, notice this, fleeing those lustful things, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those three things. Now, John makes mention of that too in 1 John. Those are the three things that get every human being. We struggle in those three areas. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's the lust in our flesh. It's the lust of our eyes and what we see. We see this in the garden played out in the very beginning in Genesis 3, don't we? Eve saw the fruit, didn't she? Saw it. She saw that it was good. Oh, it pleased her, if you will. And then it said, she realized that the serpent may be right. It could make me wise like a god. What's that pride of life? I can be something more. Lusting after her own will instead of God's will, God's way. Again, by the way, God's will is not hard. It's peaceful. It's joy. Now, there's difficulties in it. We know that. It's not a walk in the park by any means, but it's not hard to do. It's not grievous, as we read in 1 John. We love to do the will of God. And notice what he says, though, as we continue, verse 22, follow. You flee and follow. Two words you might want to underline in your Bible. Flee, one, and follow. So as we talked about, you're fleeing, getting rid of, you got to go after something else and fill that void there. What does he say? Follow righteousness. Follow faith. Follow charity. That's the biblical love we've talked about. Follow peace. And then he says, do it with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Get around God's people. I love the church of God. And you ought to love the church as well. And that's a body of believers. It's not the church building here, right? It's the ekklesia, the Greek word for the called out assembly of believers. That's who we are here tonight. Thank you for coming, by the way, and being faithful. But righteousness, it's doing right according, again, to God's standards. It's His standards. It's His way. Faith is believing God. It's trusting Him. Charity is loving God, loving the brethren, loving lost souls, having a love for the Word of God, all of those things. And peace. Peace is settling the accounts with God, settling accounts with God's people. Oh, what a wonderful message this morning, wasn't it? On forgiveness. And I had never really thought about some of those things. He said that as I never thought about that Peter, when he said seven times, he meant that was his limit. I'm going to do it seven times after that, then it no more. I hadn't really thought about that before, and I appreciated that, what Brother Sykes had said. But you think about that. Are we where we're supposed to be? Are we following after these things? Okay? Now, ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to search you. Oh, you know the psalm. The psalmist says, in Psalm 139, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. Do you pray that ever? I don't. That's hard to pray, isn't it? Oh, Lord, just search me and try me. I usually pray, Lord, please don't make it too hard on me. Know my thoughts. Notice that. You know my thoughts. Isn't it funny we think our thoughts are hidden from God? I often think that. I don't know what it is. I shouldn't have thought that, but a good thing the Lord didn't know about it. He knows it all, doesn't he? And he says, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way, excuse me, in me. And then he says, lead me in the way everlasting. Ask the Lord to help you. You can't do it on your own. And what we're talking about tonight and being in Christ, as we're a vessel for God, God help me. You're the potter, Lord. You made me. You're making me. You're helping me to be what I need to be. Fill me and then use me. Pour me out. You know, vessels used for that. There are vessels that hold water, but usually what happens? That water gets stagnant, stale, stinky, dirty. You get moss, you get mold, all kinds of stuff. If you have a vessel, though, that you use to transfer water, you have vessels you use to transfer coffee. Amen? Coffee, coffee. Amen. Thank you. We have vessels, other things, right? We transfer other things and we pour it out. Maybe it's down our throat. I don't know. You pour it out somewhere. That's what God wants to do. You know that. In us and through us. Receive God's help. Receive God's help. Now, let me say here lastly, and we'll wrap it up. We must abide in Christ. How do we do this? We abide in Him. We abide in Him. He goes on to talk about avoiding things, verse 23, foolish, unlearned questions, avoid, knowing they do gender strife. That means they generate strife. They bring up strife and other things. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure, notice, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. What are we doing? We're helping people know the will of God, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, why do I be a vessel I'm supposed to be? Well, he gives a good point. Here, Timothy, you need to be reaching other people and helping other people. And you and I can't be a vessel, can't be something. God uses us in that way. If we're dirty, if we're not where we're supposed to be, if we're not fleeing these things, but we're following after the flesh, we're following after the world, we're following after the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. No, he says you ought to be where you should be. Why? We can reach people. We can recover people. Notice that. We can encourage other people, serving them. Now, are you in Christ tonight? Abiding in Him, following Him. He says that we're to abide. John 15, just reminding you of that, and I'd encourage you to read that again on your own time. But John 15, talking about abiding in Him, abiding in Christ, serving Him. And then he goes on. Now let's wrap it up here. And he goes in chapter 3 here. Notice verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times will come. What's the first thing? Men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's our world today, isn't it? And he goes through a whole list of characteristics of the world we live in, of the people today. What does this world need? Well, it needs a vessel that God can use. It needs a vessel that God can pour out and we can reach other people. We're not going to reach everybody. I heard someone say recently, you can't, you're not going to reach everybody. I think something, I'll reach everybody. As long as I stay at it, keep praying for them. We're not going to reach everyone. We're going to try our dead level best, but it may not happen. We may not reach a family member. We may not reach those people, again, with the gospel. But as we strive to do that, we're being what we should be. And he goes through a whole list of these things. I won't read all of them. But these are people that turned from the truth. They resist the truth. Verse 8 there. He says that Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So do these also resist the truth. Corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They shall proceed no further. Now again, remember, God's the winner. Jesus Christ is the victor, and we're on the winning side. And he says, you've fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, all this. You know my example, Timothy. You know what I've gone through. Timothy says, well, I'll be a vessel unto the Lord, but what if persecutions come? What if afflictions come? What if things, they don't like me? What if people persecute and put me down? Paul says, you know what I've been through. You know what I've been through. You know they'll get worse and worse. Verse 13, evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou. I like that. But continue thou. This world's getting worse and worse. Waxing worse and worse. And people, I get a little bit nervous when I hear people say, oh, this world is getting better and better. People are getting better. People are getting more compassionate, loving, and kind. And I'm sitting back going, have you read 2 Timothy 3? You might want to check yourself. But you think about it, this world's getting worse. It's getting worse. There's good people. Oh, there's good people. There's, you know, people that are unsaved, but they are so sweet, kind, they give you the shirt off their back. But we're trying to reach them with the gospel. But this world is, in general, is getting worse and worse. But notice what he says. Timothy, Although it's getting worse, although they're deceiving, you continue in what? The things that you know. The things that you know. Oh, and that's why I want to teach our children, these kids here in our church, to know the Scriptures. Verse 15. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That's the only thing that's going to reach these kids, isn't it? It's not, oh, I remember the sermon that Brother Tim preached back in 20. They don't remember any of that. They're going to remember what the Word we imparted to them, the Word we had them memorize and study. And he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He's reminding Timothy of our core thing that we have, the Bible, the Word of God, that helps and guides us. Profitable for doctrine. That's what's right, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So anyways, as we see here, he says, as you are a vessel unto God. You know what you have. You know the Bible. You know what you're supposed to do. The sad thing is, for me, I know what to do, but I sometimes don't do it. Right? Little kid, one of our little 2-year-old, boy, she's a firecracker. But we tell her, you know not to do that. What does she say? I know, I know. Why did you do it? I don't know, right? You know not to go over there. You know not to hit your sister. Why did you do it? I don't know. She'll say, we know what to do, don't we? Sometimes we don't do it. And Paul says to Timothy, are you in Christ? Are you a vessel? Make sure you're a vessel that God can use. Make sure you're getting rid of those things that maybe a dirty cup, if you will, is a thought about. And be something God can pour out. Be something the potter can mold and use. And remember, this world's getting worse. But you know what you have. You know what to believe. You know what to preach. And you have the Word of God. It's all you need. The Word of God. That the man of God may have all that he needs for him. Now, as we see here, and we'll look at, Lord willing, next week a little more of being in Christ. Are you where you're supposed to be? I know I can improve greatly, greatly. I can improve. I need to be a little bit more, trying a little bit harder, praying more, studying Scripture more, spending more time in the Word with my wife, spending more time in prayer with my wife, spending more time, maybe for you, your grandkids or adult children, praying for them and reaching them. Being more of a witness for Christ instead of concerned so much about work and money and about other things, about how people see me or perceive me in this world. I need to be more concerned, you know, about their salvation, about spiritual matters and what God has for us. Okay, well, I'll stop there this evening. And again, thinking about, are you a vessel for Him? Reaching out into our world and our community. Again, I'd encourage you with that. Continue to go after that person around you, that just one person we've been praying about in your life, to bring them to church. I'm so thankful this morning we had a good group of people and several new folks came, and I'm so thankful for that. Continue, please, to invite those around you, reaching out. And it's going to start, though, with us, and we have to be where we need to be first and foremost for Him. Are you a vessel unto Him for His use? And Lord, we do thank You again for time this evening to share Your Word. And as we thought about, Lord, tonight, and I laugh a little bit as I think back upon using some of that, those cups there in my own life of some something that someone else may think very dirty. And Lord, we come back, we don't have to judge that way of our own standard. We come back to the Bible, and You have a standard, and You'll let us know, Father, where we are and if we're clean enough or what we're doing. Father, we want to be that vessel for You. We pray You'd help us to do that. Myself especially, thank You for a wonderful message this morning and thinking about that and being where we need to be for You, Lord. Because of Your forgiveness, we can forgive those. Because of what You've done for us, Lord, the least we can do is serve You with our lives and submit our hearts and our lives for You as a living sacrifice. Thank You for the precious Word of God. Thank You for the Church of God. And thank You for the Holy Spirit meeting with us today. How we love You. Bless those here. Help us this week as we go forth into this world as Your soldiers. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.